You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We always appreciate you tuning in on your Sunday afternoon or your Sunday evening, wherever you may be. And now we got the guys with us. We got Zayla the Liberal with us today. Zayla, say hello to everybody.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Okay. Jamal, the Independent, go ahead and speak.
Good evening, everybody, man. Thanks for coming to the show.
Not a problem.
I wish the people could see the behind-the-scenes stuff. Surprise.
You know what? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to work toward getting a conservative on the show as well, so that way we have a well-balanced situation.
You don't have one on the show?
Oh, no. Huh. Yeah, I'm just a host.
Sure.
At any rate, everybody, hey, welcome again. Like we said, we're going to be talking about a number of things today. One of the things we're going to talk about, this active shooter situation is just getting out of control, but we're going to talk about the profile of an active shooter in the workplace, all right, specifically for the workplace, the warning signs to look out for and things of that nature. And then we're going to talk about what people believe to be Biden's failure with this business at the border. You know, these kind of situations come up. I mean, there's differences of opinion about this, whether or not it's a failed policy right now, what's going on or not. And we're open to everybody's opinion about it, so we'll make that clear. It's a tough time, and it's an emotional time for those kind of things. And, you know, the opinions are going to be all across the board, you know. So we'll talk about that as well. Before we get into that, though, anybody that wants to call in, you can see that we've got the call-up number there. 323-203-0815. And if anybody, by the way, wants to get on my email blast for the upcoming shows in terms of the topics on the upcoming shows, just text Potts Associates and text that to 22828 and enter your email address. All right. So that's text Potts Associates to 22828 and enter your email address. Okay. And you can always email us at listenupwithjp@pottsandassociates.com. So there we go. Let's go ahead and get started. Normally we do these blasts, and Jamal keeps us in stitches with these blasts.
Jamal is
actually laying off the blast today because he has something else he wants to talk about. But I do have one blast, and it's against Maxine Waters. She was in Brooklyn Center. Thank you. Brooklyn Center, Massachusetts, speaking out, talking
Minnesota.
About Minnesota. I'm sorry, Zayla. Thank you. That's why I have him on the show, folks. He can always make those corrections when it comes to Minnesota stuff.
We got boots on the ground out there.
That's it. That's true.
So listen, the deal is that Maxine is out there, you know, and she's telling them that if Chauvin gets off, you know, that, you know, they need to be in the streets. And being confrontational and everything. You know, Maxine has done this before. She did this before when Trump was in office, talking about the Republicans, not Trump, but some of the Republicans, if they were in restaurants and things of that nature, confront them, run them out and things of that nature. This is just wrong, okay? So, of course, that is an opinion from this side, and I'm sure from the liberal side, other people have, you know, differences of opinions where that may be right or not right. I'm not sure. But Big Mouth Maxine needs to shut the hell up about this stuff, in my opinion. I think this stuff is just totally wrong. They're always talking about getting rid of, you know, diversity and being diversive and things, and I just think that's wrong. But at any rate, that's my little blast. Jamal, I know that you want to talk about one of the trials that's going on right now, and Zayla's going to update us with the Chauvin trial. So
man, I just want to say this real quick, man. Sound like Maxine Waters trying to get her January 6th on. But yeah, anyway, back to the trial. I wanted to do a follow-up with Z on a couple things because I heard do you know an update out there on the Kyle Rittenhouse trial?
Which one?
Kyle Rittenhouse.
Oh, yeah, the one in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Yeah, it's strange. Well, and not strange, but since the Chauvin trial is the one that's taking up all the oxygen, The trial of the guy that shot the three protesters out in Wisconsin has already started.
No. Well, no, it's not started. It's been pushed back.
Okay.
It was going to begin the beginning stages, but it actually got pushed back to the fall. Both sides agreed to pushing it back in preparation.
Was that a recent decision, Jamal? Because I thought when we talked the other day, we thought the trial may have started. That's why Zeller, I think,
started. No. They were in the beginning stages, but recently that they have moved it back. And I was just wondering if Zeller knew, you know, the feelings around there about even so much as that. Or is it even being talked about? Just because I know Minnesota got so much going on.
There's so much going on right here. The word hasn't even gotten out in regards to that. That's why I was shocked that it was starting and nobody knew about it. But if it's pushed back, it's pushed back. Remember, we have another trial coming up for the other officers as it relates to the George Floyd murder that's supposed to start in August.
What, did I say right?
The other three officers.
For the George Floyd situation, he's saying.
Yeah. You guys have the Dante Wright thing going on.
That will be another trial next year.
The courthouse. And one more thing. Well, maybe two more things. I also heard that was there a vote recently out there on – there's a couple issues that they putting on the table about traffic officers not being armed anymore. That's one of the proposals that they was talking about making.
In Minneapolis?
Somewhere out there.
You know, Jamal, there's so many things out there about police officers and I know our man behind the scenes mentioned right before we got on the air talking about there's been 60 some odd, you know, police, you know, shootings or whatever, you know, since, you know, this year or something. Listen, there are millions of police officers with millions of crimes being committed. You say there's 67 situations out there. That's great. What are the facts behind the 67? You know, I mean, these things, police officers still have a job to do. It's just getting tougher for them to do it. And just because there's been 67 shootings or whatever the case may be, you want to know the truth. I'm surprised there's not more, you know, quite frankly. You know, there's just too much going on.
You know, listen, I don't want to sound like a critic. I'm a critic of bad police officers. I think we all are, and to be fair. But I seen three videos recently of recent events that's happened where one guy actually had a gun in the car. He was a white guy. Officers begged him to do not touch that gun. They got guns pointed at him. That dude looked at him and said, you know what? That's my gun. That's my right. I'm driving off. And he put the car in drive and drove off with no shots fired. I saw another video with, it was a cop.
What are you saying? They should have shot him down. The guy didn't touch it. And let me tell you something. What's the other facts? Did they catch him at another time? Why was the guy pulled over? All they said was don't touch the gun. The guy could have gotten pulled over, Jamal, for a regular traffic stop. Okay, and what state was it in?
Can I finish? So then I saw another video where the cop was actually hanging in the doorway window being drawn.
That was here in Minnesota.
That was here in Minnesota?
That was here in Minnesota.
Yeah. Now the shot was fired at him. This is what I'm trying to say. No, I'm not saying the cop should have gunned them down. I'm not saying that. Is what I'm trying to say is they obviously can show restraint. So I just want restraint for everybody. That's
Jamal, it's restraint in different circumstances with different people, different circumstances. I'm not justifying.
Go ahead. I'm going to send you the video because I think you're going to be shocked.
I don't give a rat behind about the video. My point is with the videos that are out there that you guys are sending me, there's probably videos on the opposite side, okay, that we could show videos to. You guys expect the law enforcement situations to be absolutely perfect every single time, okay? These aren't perfect scenarios, none of them. Okay, I don't know the facts. You're telling us some facts about, and the guy just drove off. Okay. Did the guy have a warrant? Was the guy a felon that they were chasing that they pulled over? Did they pull him over because the guy?
And he wasn't being cooperative. All I'm saying is I think those cops in those cases I just described did a great job.
Part of the problem is these days they got a lot of cops that are afraid to probably even pull a gun. Okay, this lady that turned around and shot this Dante Wright situation, and people are up in arms about that. I get it. Okay, another black man shot. End of story. That's the media. What about the news story that I talked to you guys about the 16-year-old that 2 911 calls came in, said a person had a rifle. Okay, policeman responds to it, starts to get out of his car. This 16-year-old kid turns around and points the gun at the police officer. He turns around and pulls his revolver and shoots him, doesn't kill him. The kid then pulls out a knife, okay? And the police officer then shoots him, and he gets killed. Now, That's not even on the regular news, to my understanding, or at least it's not blown up. Why? Because his 16-year-old was white, okay, and so was the police officer, so therefore it doesn't make the news. Who cares? Okay? To me, and by the way, the rifle he had was an air gun. If that kid had been black and it was an air gun or it was a shooting, they would have been rioting in the streets and the media would have had it all over the place.
How can you say it didn't make the news and you telling me about it?
I saw it on the internet, Jamal. It did not make it on the main news I'm talking about. I did just learn by osmosis. I'm saying that it was a sidebar on one of the on the internet when I was reading some different things. That's all. My point is I didn't see it on the main news. Okay, that's all that I'm saying.
Well, Fox need to do their job, man.
Jamal, I understand you cracked the funny, and that's fine. Yeah. But here's the deal. The deal is any of them. But we know CNN doesn't do the news unless it's somebody black anyway. But that's besides the point. Zayla, go ahead. What are you going?
That's good because I don't watch CNN. So your dig on CNN goes right off my back, homie. I heard about it.
It wasn't meant to insult you. So go ahead, Zayla. Go ahead and tell us. Give us an update on the Chauvin trial.
Well, the Chauvin trial, the defense has rested. Derek Chauvin decided to invoke his Fifth Amendment right to not have to self-incriminate and testify at trial. And so all the testimony has been in. On Monday, both sides are going to be providing their closing arguments. I expect it's actually going to probably take all day since they had a lot of time to do the opening arguments, way more than they would normally get in these types of trials. And so the jury is going to be sequestered. So that means that they're not going to be able to leave. They're going to have to stay with each other, you know, not go to their regular life until they come back with the decision, a unanimous decision in regards to the three charges that are put forward against Derek Chauvin. So we don't know how long it's going to take for the jury to deliberate. They deliberate until they get a decision.
They'll be out by lunch. That's my feeling. I don't think it's going to take that long. The only debate might be which of the three they're going to find him guilty of, not whether he's innocent or guilty.
That's really what it's going to be. Right. That's exactly what it is. And I think that there might be folks on the jury that are going to be pushing for what the difference between second and third degree murder. Right. It seems like the prosecution really did a great job in regards to proving, at the very least, the manslaughter charge. And so really the wrangling is going to be in regards to what's the highest level of conviction he's going to receive.
Well,
I would expect, unless there's a hung jury.
Here's the easy prediction. They're going to find him guilty, to me, of third degree, because that brings the highest sentence. But they're going to find him guilty. And here's my other prediction. No matter what they come up with, they're going to be out there rioting in the streets because that'll just be another opportunity to riot. Jamal, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. What did you say?
No, I don't believe that. I believe they found guilty.
There'll
be a celebration going on. But, you know, it all depends on, too, what kind of time that he gets, man. But I think, honestly, Chauvin...
Well, that's based on which one he gets convicted of, Jamal. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
But the sentencing isn't going to happen on the same day. Sentencing could be something different.
Right.
I agree with Jamal.
Honestly, I think Chauvin is making a big mistake by not testifying.
Oh, no. Jamal, Zayla, tell him.
Something. I'm not putting my hands in nobody else's. No, I would have to testify and speak my mind.
Why didn't O.J. Simpson testify? You follow what I'm saying? Listen, criminal defendants, Jamal, Zayla's shaking his head in agreement. There's no way an attorney is going to advise his client, okay, to get on the witness stand, okay, and testify. The prosecution would rip him apart. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No way. He's already got an uphill battle.
I'm saying what I would do. I get it.
Well,
in that situation.
And there's going to be appeals regardless of what the outcome is. So there's
exactly
that.
Because right. And you know what the appeal is going to be based upon? Couldn't get a fair trial. They've mm-hmm. done that one so many times. Bill Cosby did it. O.J. Simpson. They all did. That's all a basic of appeal. Anytime it hits the news like this, right away can't get a fair trial. But what if the courts in the past said, where could you be tried then if that's the case? You know, it doesn't make any sense. You know, we're not going to just let you off because you feel that you didn't get a fair trial. Because a fair trial also has to do with the fact that you have a right to call the witnesses. You've got a right to contradict anything that anybody is saying, you know, against you. Okay. Convincing the jury, that's your opportunity as well.
And a fair trial is a jury of your peers, which means in the location where the crime occurred. And if we think back to, you know, the Rodney King, you know, with the police officers involved with that, I mean, part of the criticism in regards to that matter was that it was moved out of LA that was a lot more diverse to Simi Valley that isn't as diverse. So, I mean, this one we have like the my assessment in regards to, you know, experts that have been tracking this, out of all the police, you know, shooting cases and trials, that this is the most diverse jury.
And it's probably good that it's that way. Let me tell you something. You guys know my book is coming out in July, Defending a Serial mm-hmm. Killer. That story, what do you think one of his appeals was? One of his appeals was he didn't get a fair trial because there wasn't a proper sampling from where he was. I mean, it's an old argument. Everybody hey, has an argument.
I haven't heard a guilty person have a fair trial yet.
Hey, let's keep moving, guys. Let me read, because of, we've been a little bit delayed, I'm not going to read all the emails, but I'm going to read two quick emails, okay? Jim, the media and politicians are all focused on the border, police shootings, and the Supreme Court. What is not being properly discussed is Russia getting in position to attack Ukraine and China doing the same with Taiwan. Clearly, these two nations are taking advantage of our discourse and a weak Joe Biden. What is your opinion? That's signed by Jess from Omaha, Nebraska. First of all, it's true. And I don't know if people are really paying attention to that, but Russia is approaching Ukraine again, okay? And China, which has been upset with Taiwan, they are also approaching Taiwan. We could end up in a situation where those two countries go into those two smaller nations. We'll wait and see. Now, this business about Biden being weak, okay, as an example, that's, you know, I don't want to throw an insult out there like that. Biden will consult with whoever he has to consult with to make whatever decisions is in the best interest of our nation. I don't see if either one of these two countries go into those two countries. I don't see Biden sending troops over there. It's probably going to be sanctions, but I don't believe he's not going to take some kind of action. And whatever action he takes will probably be criticized by the right, quite frankly, that he didn't do the right thing. You know, so what is my opinion? I don't think that either one of those two countries should get away with it, and some type of action should be taken, but I'm not going to be an advocate. What are we going to do, send troops over there against China and against Russia? That's not going to happen. I'm sorry, Zayla, your opinion?
No, the thing I would add is that, again, we as the United States shouldn't be going about these types of things alone, right? We should be doing it as a coalition with others, whether it be the United Nations and other efforts. And so I support being involved in regards to, you know, those efforts and not the U.S. unilaterally going about some of this kind of stuff alone like we have done before.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Why is everybody putting this on Joe Biden when we have a whole UN council? You know what I mean? And these things have been, trust me, they didn't say, oh, Biden's the president in 4 months, start putting this plan together. This plan has been going on for a while. This has always been their thing to do. You know what I mean? So
I made it very clear. My position is that I agree. Okay.
Yeah.
It has to be handled diplomatically. We're not going to go. Somebody called me the other day and was asking me, and they were saying, well, those countries, you know, use nuclear weapons. I said, wait a minute. You drop a nuclear bomb on Taiwan and they're trying to get Taiwan. There's nothing left.
That's true. That's true.
You know, so that's not going to happen.
Right.
And they're not going to drop a bomb on Ukraine when that fallout could go all into Europe. So that's not going to happen.
Now, to that person's credit, if they wanted to argue that I heard Iran's uranium has went up during Joe Biden's pregnancy. I feel bad as Joe Biden right now.
Okay. Hey, there you go. Don't even go there. You'll be getting some messages on that one. But go ahead.
No, Jamal. No, no. But you know, during his presidency, I think Iran's use of uranium and production of uranium has gone up.
It's no doubt about it. But again, Biden's not doing anything about that. That's a major concern. Okay, right. That needs to be properly addressed, and we'll wait to see what he ends up doing. We got a text message that came in. Says Joe Biden is not weak. He just stood up to Putin. He's not a Putin puppet. Whatever that's supposed to mean.
Well, we know what that means.
Yeah. Well, you know, some people can't let Trump go. It's whatever. Okay.
I didn't bring that man
in. Not you. I'm talking about this other thing. But at any rate, so the reality is, whether Joe Biden is weak, not weak, whatever the case may be, he's still president of the United States, and he's got the people around him that will best advise him on how to handle this. Is that a fair enough statement, guys?
That's a fair enough statement.
That's what should happen. And I'm in agreement. We're not going to war. Okay.
Right.
So Jess, I understand how you feel. But you know, I think the consensus here is we can't just necessarily agree in terms of, anyway, let's move on to the next one. Jim, another active shooter with mass casualties in Indianapolis. The shooter purchased 2 assault weapons legally last summer. How can you continue to not support Biden's gun control objectives? Paula from Oxnard, California. Look, Paula, I have said it on this show more than once, okay? The fact that I do not believe, because the weapons that he had were automatic rifles, okay? I have said on this show before, I do not agree that civilians should be able to have those kind of weapons. I think it should be reserved for police officers, and I think it should be reserved for people in the military. So when you say Biden's, policies on this, Biden has different policies for different things. So the statement here is too much of a broad statement. But I will say that I am not supportive of these people being able to get those type of weapons. I just don't think they should have them. Okay, no, and I've said it before. Go ahead, Jamal.
To your point, you have said it. We have talked about that multiple times, that we don't think civilians should have military-grade weapons.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now, is Joe Biden doing some other things I don't agree with?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
Like with the guns and stuff like that. There's some things that's kind of disturbing me right now. We'll get into that another time. You know what I mean? But in terms of civilians having military grade, no. Because weapons are supposed to be used for home self-defense. A fully automatic AR-15 is not home self-defense. A handgun and a shotgun is. I'm all for hunting rifles. A fully automatic, you're not going to tear up no deer with a 30-round clip.
Well, first of all, those are illegal. You can't even go deer hunting with those. You get caught with those, you're going to jail.
Well, that's what oh, I'm really? Saying.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's illegal.
So, no.
In some states, you can't even use a shotgun.
It doesn't have to be one extreme or the other. You know what I mean? Right. It could be a fair balance where we have our guns at home without them being military grade.
Zella, weigh in.
Oh, no. I mean, I agree that again, there has to be some kind of reasonable reform available, and parties just need to come together. The surveys show that the majority of American people for years now have felt that there needs to be something. And so the politicians just need to come together and figure it out and make it happen. And I was just having this discussion with friends. I mean, there's always going to be crazy people. You're not going to be able to prevent everything from happening. But, I mean, to try to do something to prevent the most casualties from happening is something that's important. And not to get us off track, but I just got a text message that there was another police involved shooting in Burnsville over here in Minneapolis, not about 30 minutes ago. Yeah. So hopefully
was it a black suspect that was killed by a white?
I don't know yet. I'm focusing on the show. So right. I just saw the text.
I could tell you if it's newsworthy, it probably is, but that's besides the point.
Let me say this too. You know, I worked in armored truck for 8 years. And some of the magazines some of the magazines that I carried, you know what I mean, was, say, questionable. You know what I mean? But here's the thing. You're not going to tell me what I'm going to defend my life with. That's the bottom line, man. You know what I mean? Because if I have to carry, it's because potentially my life is in danger. You know what I mean? From criminals. I'm a law-abiding citizen. So I don't want to necessarily be told what I could defend my life with as far as the number I can have in my weapon.
Okay, we're going to move on. One of the main topics we were talking about today is the profile of an active shooter in the workplace. So part of what we do, we actually offer this active shooter training, et cetera. So I'm going to, and this is something that we talk to managers and supervisors about, because we want them to be focused on this. So one of the things, was what we call the 8 warning signs of violent behavior. The first one is fascination with weapons. And look, here we are talking about weapons, but we're not talking about hunting rifles and things of that nature. We're talking about the guy that's always coming in talking about, you know, hey, have you heard that the gun show was in town? And, you know, the guy, you know, is always just talking about guns, guns, guns. That's one of the ones that law enforcement says that you have to keep an eye on. The second one is substance abuse as well. Okay. Somebody just texted in and said that they'll move from, if you take the guns away, they'll move from guns to bombs and kill. It's true. They're always going to and kill more people. That's true. I think that's what Jamal is saying, that they're always going to find something. Substance abuse, severe stress is one of the ones, because there are people who can't handle a lot of stress and they snap. Okay. Violent history is another one. And the funny part about the violent history is that employers in some states like California are being hamstrung regarding background checks. So how can you truly check on some of these people if you're going to hamstring the employer with the background checks? Excuse me. The next one is decreased, you know, productivity. I don't get too excited about that one. That's sometimes dictated by people walking through the door, you know, customers or the economy and things of that nature. But social isolation and poor peer pressure, poor peer relationships, that one to me, you got to be really sensitive about, because when you start talking about social isolation, that means they don't talk to anybody. And when they do talk to people, there's always an issue. You know, they're always arguing about people. I got a call from a client the other day that they decided, because 8 people literally just tested positive in their work environment for COVID, where they're bringing in a team of, you know, the medical people are coming. They're going to test everybody. Okay. Because what are they doing? Being proactive, right? One guy. Okay. Who my client deemed as a white wing extremist is in there talking about, that's illegal. You can't do that. This government is this and that and this and that. This guy is refusing to get tested. So the client was calling to find out, okay, well, what do you do? And this guy is always talking about guns and the rest of those kind of things. They called me because they actually went through the active shooter program that we offer. The reality is California and also the federal, the EEOC, have always have stated now that employers can in fact test employees, you know, so it's not an illegal practice, but you have somebody that wants to rear up. Okay. And now they're going to be concerned about him, you know, if they have to make him, you know, if he refuses to take a test. So I have to wait and see what's going to actually happen with that, you know, so we'll see. Okay. The next one, I just told you, poor personal hygiene. The first time I saw that, I'm like, poor personal hygiene? What's that all about? Because they say that a person who engages in poor personal hygiene has given up on life. So they may be more suicidal. So they get into these situations. So you have suicide by cop, like this kid in Indianapolis. His parents have reported that he may want to, you know, and that's why the FBI took away his other weapons. And that he actually went and bought these 2 weapons legally. Okay. So suicide by cop is not uncommon. Drastic changes in personality is the other one. Jim is a happy-go-lucky guy. All of a sudden now, Jim is withdrawn. He's off to himself. Something is going on. You know, employers do have, they can go to the person and say, hey, is there something that, you know, that's going on, something you'd like to talk about? Because a lot of times some of these people don't have anybody to talk to.
Right.
Right, Zeller? Because, mm-hmm. you know, in the seminars we've talked about, but we say don't give out personal advice, though, because that advice doesn't work out.
Right.
Now you got an explosive situation. Now,
literally.
So yeah. Those are the 8. Let's go to what triggers on the job violence. What triggers on the job violence? The first one, Jamal, Zeller, you guys can attest to this, personality conflicts. How many calls a week do we get about people who can't get along? I mean, you would want to think, come on, guys. You know, can't we all get along? I mean, come on.
You know, bring them back. When you was doing the Bullseye program,
right?
It was amazing. We discovered that there was one employer, they had a place in the back across the street where employees get together and fight.
Right. to release their stress against each other.
And beat each to get it out. Now, maybe that's better than shooting one another. I don't know. You know what I mean?
But, well, yeah. You get to live another day.
Man, yeah. When we heard that, we couldn't believe it. Oh, yeah. We just let them go out back. We had a spot all for them. And when these employees can't get along, we let them go back up there. We let them go back out there. And, you know, when it's all over, the winner normally walks, you know, comes back inside. And then the loser,
everybody
we
feels better.
You know, we got to go out there and pick them up off the ground, maybe. But at least everybody
have an ice pack ready. No, but that's a true story, though. People need to know that.
It is a true story. It is a true story.
Can I just weigh in on the personal hygiene real quick? Mm-hmm. You have to be careful just because different cultures have different things.
You know
what I mean? And it was one of my first jobs. I think it was my second job. We had a manager that just smelled the high hell. but it was a cultural thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they literally took showers like once a week or something like that.
And some of them don't wear deodorant because because that's not part of their culture.
Yeah.
We're not going to mention what culture, but we're just saying it's a cultural thing.
No, I had the same thing when I was on the track team. Like, everybody was like, well, you're the captain. You need to go talk to them about their hygiene.
Oh, yeah.
Cultural differences.
I think my other brother had the same problem with one of his roommates who didn't take showers on a regular basis. And he finally went and bought him some soap. You living over here in America, Jack.
But here's the thing. Sometimes people don't know. I mean, in regards to what the cultural differences are here, right? Unless somebody tells them. So that's the other aspect sometimes.
That's the other aspect. Work-related stress, we kind of already talked about that. Family and marital problems. Sometimes some of these things, remember what I told you on the show, 48 to 49% of the active shooter situations is business-related. And some of those, out of that percentage, you know, has to do with, domestic violence situations that spill over into the work environment. So I don't want to get heavy into that. Mental illness is another one. Yeah. The problem is that sometimes we don't know that somebody might be mentally ill until after the fact. And when they do these kind of shootings, like the one in Indianapolis, they suspect this guy was mentally ill, and yet he was able to get a gun. You know, we do have to consider, and I know, what is it, the Red Dog Law or whatever it is where they had that if your family suspects something's going on, they put it into a database. Zella, isn't that right? Is something
that's what I was going to ask you was because you know, the people that are closest to these individuals, you would hope, tend to be their family. So if their family's like, hey, you know what, this person, you know, might cause a problem or a threat to others. I mean, the question is, where should the law draw the line in regards to preventing them or taking their weapons, right?
Exactly. I don't have a problem. Jamal and I have talked about that on the show before you started coming on the show with Azaler, and that we've talked about, you know, the right to take away somebody's weapon if you suspect. The problem is if we're not careful, there could be abuse with that. You could have an ex or somebody like that. Somebody's just trying to get even with somebody. And they have to actually go to court, though. Okay, so everybody gets to go to court to be able to present their particular positions or whether or not this person should have a weapon or not have a weapon.
You know what?
Okay, Jamal.
When my daughter was in high school, she said there was this one particular kid who never had friends and he would wear a trench coat. It was 90 degrees. She said she made it a point to say good morning to him every day.
He ain't going to kill her.
Every day.
He's not going to kill her.
Yeah, just in case he was the one to set it off. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's smart.
We laugh him, but it's smart on her part. You know what I mean? To say, hey, good morning. How you doing today? I'm doing great. All right, cool. She would go about her business the rest of the day.
The last one that I want to talk about, firings, when people get fired.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's traumatic for people. Okay. Mm-hmm. There was this recent thing about FedEx. There was a FedEx location up in the Bay Area where a guy was being called in and he had been there 22 years and was getting fired. He bought his pistol. He comes into the room and there were three people in there. One was the manager, one was the HR person, and one was an intern for HR. And they told him he was fired. He turned around and killed all three of them. Sad, but true. Okay? He killed all three of them. And then, of course, he barricaded himself. And then eventually, I think either the police killed him or he killed him. Okay. We're getting some text messages. The FBI went to the FedEx killer. When they went to this guy's home, by the way, they didn't find enough information to be able to put him into the database. It said it just wasn't enough there. The parents had expressed something, okay, but they did take the gun away from him, but they didn't find enough, okay, where he would be put on some list somewhere to say he can't get a gun. And now this is what happened. So I'm sure they'll be hung out to dry on that. I want to finish them all. Terminations are the worst. So anybody out there that's a manager and a supervisor with these terminations, I always tell them, be nice about it. Even if it's somebody that you want to get rid of, that you're glad that you're finally telling them to get the heck out of there, be nice, because you're going to send them home to tell their loved ones, I no longer have a job, I no longer have an income, I no longer have benefits and things of that nature. And that's not an easy task sometimes for people. Jamal, go ahead.
Long before I finally was able to come into the company, man. When I was doing armored truck, I remember I was being laid off, and I knew something wasn't right because when I walked past one of the manager's office, he was putting on his gun belt, and and they told him to go see the main manager. When I walked past the office, I told my partner, I said, well, I think we're finally being laid off. And it was a legitimate layoff because they was in some kind of transition.
Right.
You know what I mean? He said, why do you think we're being fired? I said, well, I seen Robert in there putting on his gun belt. And I'm
Casey has to shoot back, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, we were armed. You know what I'm saying? So I totally understood what was going on. But any other day I had to meet with them, nobody, no managers put on their gun belt. You know what
the last point I want to make on this, guys, is that the most violent incidents on the job, who does it involve? Employee to employee is number one. Employees who can't get along. Then employee and supervisor. Customer and employees. And then the fourth one is employees and significant others, spouses, et cetera. So right. At least that gives our listeners an opportunity. And I know I was going kind of fast on that, but they can go back and listen to it and write some of these things down.
Absolutely.
And hopefully pass it on to their managers, supervisors, possibly even coworkers as well. Let's get into this other situation.
Really quick, Jim.
So,
our behind-the-scenes guy put this up, and I found it all as well, that there's also been a shooting in Wisconsin in Kenosha, where three people are to have been killed and 2 to 3 injured, and this was at a restaurant Wisconsin. So we were just talking about Kenosha, and this happened a little bit earlier.
Wow.
Look.
And the suspect's in custody and is described as a black male over 6 feet tall, wearing a light colored hoodie sweatshirt.
Well, here's what's interesting. You know, I've done statistics on the show before about who these active shooters are, and the majority of active shooters, Caucasian males, between 25 and 40. It's you don't really hear about active shooters that often with African Americans or Hispanics or Asians. You know, it's normally Caucasians. For whatever reason, I don't know, but I'm going to pass that along. So I'm kind of surprised, Zayla, but I'm never surprised.
That sounds like that might have been a personal matter.
And sometimes that's what it boils down to as well.
Well, remember, there's a lot going on in Kenosha from a racial perspective. We're just talking about the trial.
Black active shooters was the DC sniper.
Right.
And then also the guy who shot up the subway in New York, I believe it was. And he actually didn't want a lawyer. He did the case himself. That was a long time ago, early 90s.
Jamal, they'll tell you in law school, we learned that if you represent yourself, you have a jackass for a client. And what is it? An idiot for an attorney? Something like that. You should represent yourself is the bottom line. I mean, that's totally insane.
He actually did pretty good under the circumstances, but everybody was just like, no, dude, it was you.
Did he get convicted?
Oh, yeah, he got convicted.
Well, there it is. Okay, who knows? Yeah. Probably would have anyway. Let's move on to this last one so we could make sure we devote the last few minutes to it. Look, the issue about the border, all right? Issue about the border. Look, again, I said at the outset, this stuff is going to be emotional for people. I got some statistics that I wanted, you know, to talk about from Biden's perspective, and I'll just read these as a little introduction, and then we can all discuss them or give out different points of view. But I would like to – so on his first day in office – Biden executed 5 executive orders, you know, promising an immigration policy that was going to be humane and welcoming. Okay, say that you're welcome. 2, he then began allowing unaccompanied minors into the country. All right. 3 is now the latest surge. It's the largest surge now in 20 years, and Biden and Harris have had no plan other than to continue opening more facilities to house these children. 4, in fact, Biden's Department of Homeland Security Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, I hope I didn't butcher that last name, admitted that they are on pace to encounter more people on the southwest border of the United States than they have seen in 20 years. And in March alone, the Border Patrol reports arrests and detentions were 100,000 people. Now, part of this problem is, in my opinion, is the coyotes and the cartel. They are selling this stuff on the internet. It's been on the internet where they're actually advertising for this stuff. So I think that no matter what Biden says or doesn't say, they are also pushing this as an issue, in my opinion. Okay. But anyway, Zayla, why don't you weigh in first and give us, you know, the other perspective, or your perspective, I should say.
Well, no, the other thing I want to make sure that I highlight is that there have been natural disasters in Central and South America that have made it extremely challenging there too. With, you know, we've had our share of hurricanes here, especially with that last hurricane season. It's hit Central and South America significantly as well. So that's, I think, also adding to the fact that, you know, if their economy is decimated and there's no infrastructure, there's no power, there's no water, what are they supposed to do, right? Where are they supposed to go? Not saying that they have to come here, but I mean, we have to take into account, I think, when we're looking at these types of situations and whether, you know, whether the surge is longer than prior surges, you know, take all of that type of stuff into context as well.
Yeah, but why is it mainly children, these unaccompanied, you know, the unaccompanied children? That's really what's creating this mass of facilities that they got to open up all of these facilities. Now, look, we've said it on the show. If I'm down there and I have my family, I'm not going to lie. I might be doing the same thing,
right?
Okay? Mm-hmm. From that perspective, okay? But I'm only talking about the outrage that people feel. Okay, they don't think Biden is doing and Harris is doing what they're supposed to be doing, and that they opened up their arms, okay, and told everybody to come up. Now, in all fairness to Biden, Biden said now is not the time, okay? But in the same token, they know that they are a little bit more open-minded when it comes to these things, you know? So I don't know. Jamal, go ahead and weigh in.
Okay, this is what I've always been saying. We are failing to help our neighbors. Do we owe Mexico anything? Absolutely not. But however, their issues are affecting us and people are complaining about that. But the U.S. has been known to give out foreign aid.
Now, and they have, Jamal. All of those three triangle companies. This country has given Trump sent money down there. Let me finish.
Sorry,
go ahead.
These are the top 10 countries we give money to. $4.89 billion to Afghanistan. $3.3 billion to Israel. $1.72 billion to Jordan. $1.46 billion to Egypt. $96 million to Iraq. $922 million to Ethiopia, $809 million to Yemen, $800 million to Colombia, $793 million to Nigeria, $790 million to Lebanon. These are the top 10.
Okay, wait, left off one. What about the billions of dollars that Obama sent over to Iran? Let's not forget that.
Why are you changing the subject?
Yeah, can we finish my point?
Because he gave money. I ain't changing the subject, Ball. Go ahead, man.
No, he gave them back their money. That's what you want
to
ask.
That was the money that they were entitled to.
Oh, yeah. Let's give them money they were entitled to. Go ahead, Jamal. What were you going to say? No, what were you going
to
say?
Now you're trying to sound like a Democrat. Keep everybody's money. But anyway. You know. But out of all the foreign aid that we give, Mexico gets 0.8, less than 1% of the foreign aid that we give out. And these are our southern neighbors. So this is what's causing the problem. And of that 0.8%, a quarter of that goes to the Mexican military. They said according to the statistics, the money that we give over there, that's $2.62 per person. I think we could do better in helping them.
You know what, Jamal? I won't argue the point. But a lot of those people in Mexico come up here and make money and they take it back home too. But I agree with you, okay? And Trump, by the way, did give money, okay, to those other nations, to the triangle nations, okay? He did. And that could be fact checked.
We didn't say he did.
Is it enough?
Who knows, okay? It's never going to be enough. It's like anybody else with a paycheck. Paycheck is never enough. But look, those statistics you just gave, Jamal, that's very interesting. And we have a lot of different reasons why we give money out like that around the world, okay? But that's our problem, is that we are so, you know, caught up with helping everybody else. And that was one of the arguments that people have. We need to focus on us, okay? And I will say that was one thing that Trump did do, okay? He tried to say, look, keep the manufacturing here, do this, do that. Let's America first was his slogan and stuff, all right? But aside from that, that's a lot of money, Jamal.
Can we do a show without that man name being mentioned, man?
Oh, we can try once.
Hold on a second. Whoa. I'll go back and listen to the last 10 shows. I'm not the one that normally brings Trump up. Now, as you know, this thing we got earlier that said he's not a puppet, suggesting about Trump. Don't look at me. I don't necessarily want to even bring up Trump's name. I get people to turn around and contact me, okay? And they want. I say, look, Trump is not in office. I don't care what Trump does. They talk about, you know, he's probably going to get arrested. He's probably going to get sued. You know, my response is, I don't care. He's no longer president of the United States. I don't care if they go after him for taxes, you know, if it's warranted. I don't care if they want to press criminal charges against him, but they think he did something wrong. I don't care. He's no longer president of the United States. I don't care. We got some texts here, you guys. Let's see. I know I wish there was more honesty in politics. Let's just stop giving money altogether, somebody typed in.
Okay.
Everyone is interested in coming to the USA. Can we handle the world's issues? What about our families?
I agree.
And those are good points also.
I'm not disagreeing. But however, our next door neighbors, their business is a that's just like if you had a neighbor that lives next door and the trash is building up on their property, and I'm not saying Mexico is trash, that stuff is going to affect you with rodents, smell, it's going to affect you.
Okay, and again, we're not talking about Mexico.
I'm not talking about Mexico, but I'm just saying
you're using an analogy. Right,
next door neighbors could affect you.
I want to bring something up because Zeller every week seems like he wears some political statement shirt. You know, every time he's on the air, so I see he's got one. I can only see where it says "racing with a line." So every week he comes up with something else.
Oh,
so
man, it's a paragraph.
No racism, no sexism, no Islamophobia. Transphobia and xenophobia. Okay, Zell. Yeah.
Live inclusively.
Every got some political statement on his shirt, you know. Well,
Gotta spread the love. Well,
I'm waiting for you to wear the one to say "Blue Lives Matter." Also, you know, but that's what's all lives matter. When are you going to wear that shirt? All lives matter.
All lives matter. I agree.
People choose to be police officers. People don't choose to be black.
Now, wait a minute. People don't choose to be black. What about the lady that was Caucasian to try to pass herself off as black? Remember that situation?
That was your friend. Dolezal.
She's Caucasian. She's sitting up here trying to talk about she African-American.
Wait, what did she say? What? She was a racially... Wait.
Over. Just to get rejected for a loan.
Like, come on. Oh, here's a guy typing back. I didn't mention his name. You did. But come on, the suggestion was there. Give me a break, man. Who can't read between the lines? Anyway,
can I just tell my lighter hue brothers and sisters, man, you know, just because you go eat at Roscoe's once a week, don't make you one of us, man. You know what I mean? We appreciate the patronage. But...
Man, you're so crazy, Jamal. I swear, man. But at any rate, look, I think we can all agree on one thing. We've got a situation that has to be dealt with. I think the majority of people that you listen to on and even the left news, you know, outlets are starting to ask about these situations. It is really becoming, quote unquote, a crisis.
Absolutely.
In my opinion. And I think it has to be addressed. We're not going to take these children and throw them back across the border. So that's not going to happen.
That's the hard part because my understanding is that was the difference in regards to the prior administration's decision that they weren't going to let people in, that they were going to have to stay at the border and wait there for their turn to come in here. And I guess the question is does that put kids in more risk by leaving them there in a country where they don't have anybody watching
for them? But I don't understand about that, Zeller. My kids wouldn't have been in that situation if I was Can I finish what I was going to say?
Mm-hmm.
I was only saying that I understand how desperate people can be. Okay. And you're right. That's on an individual basis. I'm sure everybody in those countries did not send their children up there. I get it. Okay. They are still children. Okay. And I understand that once we get them, we have to be able to handle it, but there's gotta be some kind of aggressive policy, in my opinion, that keeps this flow back, okay? Because we can't keep handling this like this. It's just that simple, you know? So at any rate, it's time to get off the air. Hey, guys, we always appreciate you listening to us. Do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Until then, we want you guys to be safe out there. Docker, wait a minute, one more. Docker 2.0 for the future. Docker 2.0 for the future. At any rate, Zeller, go ahead and sign off, man.
Be safe out there. I'm sure all eyes are going to be on Minnesota this week to see what happens in regard to this verdict. So keep us in your thoughts.
Jamal?
Hey, real quick, man. All these people that's complaining about the border crisis and stuff, I wonder if these same people gave Obama credit when he deported more people than any other U.S. president. They never said a word about that. But, you know, hey, have a good week, y'all.
Okay, one last text, because I thought this text is good. It's a complicated situation at the border. Give Biden a chance. I'm not even going to disagree with you.
I agree.
Until next week, everybody, thank you for listening.
Thanks, everyone.
All right.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.